Hello.
Hello.
Good evening, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Pork Therapy.
Will he remain her stolid love affair, or will her husband get cancer? Will he find out?
Or will the porcupine pee on its female counterpart so it can weaken its quills?
Stay tuned and find
all
out.
All this and more on the next episode of Pork
Therapy. Pork Therapy, which, in case we haven't introduced, is us. Thanks for listening.
Yes, that's us. And I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Mike.
And we're being a little melodramatic tonight. We've had an evening of drama, haven't we?
Sure.
Yeah.
There's no shortage
exactly.
of drama.
The drama was wondering when I was going to burp, because I've been drinking a carbonated beverage, and Mike was waiting for it to come out.
I was hoping we could get it on the show, but it happened between recording sessions.
Well, if this is anything like the other episodes, we have about 30 minutes for that to happen. 30 minutes of bullshit.
30 minutes of bullshit to get to the belch.
Exactly. So listen for it, listeners. You might find a little Easter egg in this episode. Oh, anyway, I think we... Well, I was going to say we need to get to the question, but I don't think we've quite wasted enough time yet.
Oh,
so.
It's only been a minute. That's like half our usual rate.
Yeah, exactly.
We could take care of some business, and thank you for listening, and
thank you very much.
Them to the website.
Yes, and I'm amazed that they keep coming back, but, you know, we're getting more and more popular, apparently. We're getting...
Well, popular is a loose definition. More and more people are listening to us.
That's right. We're not too popular because we just gab and gossip about people all the time on the Pork Therapy couch. But nonetheless, we have added some, I guess, fans and followers. So thank you for doing that. And if you want to email us your questions, if you're daring, if you dare, I'm going to challenge you to email us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com.
And any topic you want, including
fuck that up,
including
so
making up a question and making it silly or making it serious.
That's right. I think any question will be taken both with a grain of salt and with a good amount of seriousness. So we'll make something interesting out of it, no matter what.
And probably some sexual innuendo.
I think that's pretty much a guarantee.
Yeah.
With these two.
Also, coming soon to Pork Therapy will be a dial-in line for you to record your question.
Project.
And
we're
we'll
so excited
about
it. Oh,
I just blew it. Now it's a bottom secret because I just gave it away.
You fucked it up. What are you doing, Mike? You're going to need to get spanked for that.
We're going to... Ooh.
Ooh. Ow.
So we're going to use the dial-in line for you to record your questions so we can play them on air. And sometimes also just so we can have you on the air with us. That was the burp. That's the best she can do.
Oh, my God. You know, I like to do things that are outside of my comfort zone sometimes.
You make me so angry when you do things like that. I am angry, so angry I could explode and pick up the movable studio and throw it across the room.
Well, I think I just did explode, but in a different way. And that's actually what we're talking about tonight.
Yes, that was a very feeble attempt at morphing into the topic. Because,
feeble indeed.
Because actually,
was a segue
I try to entice her to belch, and so she...
That, you know, as a side, this has been going on for months in our relationship, I would say. Mike has been, every time I drink something, it doesn't matter if it's just a glass of water or if it's a seltzer or a Coke or whatever, Mike wants me to burp, and he wants me to burp loud and
like
proud.
Yeah. I mean, it always comes up because after she drinks something, she, like, I guess it's a burp, but she just, like, moves her hand up to her mouth and then moves it away, and I guess a burp happened. So dainty and feminine.
Well, how do you even know that I burp? Maybe
I
was just so shocked that you would even suggest the mere notion of me belching. I mean, women don't have gas, didn't you know?
Oh, yeah. Women don't poop. Women don't fart. Women don't burp.
No, I actually had someone tell me one time that women don't poop.
But they were serious?
Oh, they were completely serious.
Were they 3 years old?
No, I think they were about 33.
Oh, they couldn't have been serious.
Well, obviously they weren't serious, but they actually said it in a somewhat serious way, as if to warn me that if I ever so much suggested that that I had taken a shit, then there would be hell to pay.
Or that you would suddenly be a man.
I guess I would, because women don't poop. And on that note, that made me very angry.
So let's feebly segue into the topic all again. Right. How angry were you?
Oh, I was so angry, I almost choked a chicken. Well, our question asker had a very similar experience, and we don't know if it was a woman or a man, but, well, we won't even venture a guess as to the gender. We'll just read the question.
I'm going to call him Chris. Because that could be a man or a woman's name.
Oh, like Chris Cross? What are you... No. Oh, like it's Pat, right?
Yeah, it's Pat. Yeah. That's the name of this question asked.
Okay,
Pat.
We're going to call it Pat. Oh, my God, that was so funny. You just cracked me up.
We are actually getting to the topic. Look, we wasted like twice as much time as normal now.
Oh, good job. Fail.
So the topic this time is... Generally speaking, it's anger management.
You forgot to cross your arms and stick them into your armpits and then smell them.
Superstar. So the topic is anger management, yes. And here is the question read in the beautiful Stephanie's
from
beautiful
Ms.
voice.
Pat. Oh, thank you for that nice setup, Mike.
Without a belch.
Sometimes I get so angry during arguments that I want to explode. I am really afraid that I'll do something stupid when I get so mad. Sometimes I don't even realize what I'm doing or saying until later when I'm not angry anymore. How can I handle my anger better?
Well,
how was that, Mike?
That was beautiful, except technically, listener, it was 1, 2, 3 statements and a question, and I'm sorry, that disqualifies it.
Ugh, yeah, fuck off.
Kidding.
Come back
so,
later.
So, anger management, and it's a great topic, and he even says something, or he or Pat or she... says something in the middle. Sometimes I don't even realize what I'm doing or saying until later when I'm not angry anymore. And I think we've talked about in a few episodes how I like to, when I get angry or passionate,
oh, yeah.
I like to just take a break and come back later for that very reason.
Yes.
Because when I'm passionate, I want to act on the emotion instead of the logic, and I might say something that I'll regret or do something that I'll regret. And it sounds like from the question asker's point of view that he or she thinks they might, you know, hurt someone or damage something or something.
Yeah, and I think...
when impassioned.
Like, you know, kudos to the question asker for recognizing that, right? I think that's really important.
Yeah.
Because if you realize that when I get angry, I might have a tendency to do something that I'll regret later, well, that's the first step to fixing it, right?
Absolutely.
You have to realize that it's a problem. So that's cool. And also, I want to say that, you know, I think this is a really common thing. I don't think that...
Oh,
I don't
think
that.
Universal.
I think this question could apply to anyone. You know,
yeah.
Sometimes we all get angry and
are
afraid of that we'll do things that we regret, or maybe do things that we regret later.
Certainly,
right?
There's people who are better at controlling their anger than I am, but I think I'm pretty good at it. But even just last night, I was having a heated discussion, which
oh really?
Hopefully, will never become the topic of a pork therapy, but it's already been requested.
I know the topic,
yes,
that you're referring
but anyway.
To, and this is. Fucking hilarious.
But during the conversation, which was basically everyone in the room against me, I started to get passionate about it.
Oh my
God. And Stephanie looked at me and said something like, calm down or something.
Oh,
and,
I remember that.
Yeah, and I didn't realize that I was getting heated. So
You were getting real angry.
The fact
and
that
I
she
knew.
Said something to me made me realize it, and I hope I calmed down. But, you know, maybe that's what this question asker is talking about. They're in a heated moment. Maybe they're feeling ganged up on or whatever. And they feel like they're about to do something. And this guy or girl says, I feel that I want to explode. So it's a tough situation to be in. I think everyone's in it sooner or later.
Oh,
or
yeah,
often.
Definitely. And like you said, Mike, you said that you didn't even realize how angry you were getting. But I realized it as a sort of dispassionate observer that you were raising your voice and you were gesturing with your hands excitedly and... Good thing this isn't a video podcast, or else you would have seen a very threatening gesture just being made. But Mike was, you know, Mike was getting a little bit excited, and I could see him getting physically involved in what he was saying. And so I just looked at him and I said, calm down.
Yeah. I would dare say that you probably noticed that my ability to argue my point was weakening. I was... maybe not? Okay.
I still thought that you were making good points, and I was listening to what you were saying, but maybe for someone who didn't know you, they were just harping on your anger, and they...
Maybe.
And, you know, when you're arguing or discussing something with someone, because I like a discussion better than an argument,
oh, absolutely.
Right? An argument is like two people butting heads with each other, where
it's... Yeah, not changing, not learning.
Yeah, discussion is a two-way street, and both people are sort of trying to understand the point of view of the other, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And so, during a discussion, I think that it always makes you... it always makes the other person more apt to listen to you when you present your points in a calm and
absolutely
rational manner.
Yeah, I agree. And so I was failing at least in that without knowing it.
Yeah, but you were still articulate in what you were saying. I think I might have
gotten angrier. Nice! Woo! I might have been getting to the point where I couldn't
please
control anymore.
Please don't get pissed off at me that I just did that.
Oh, you interrupted me again.
You know,
it might have gotten to the point where, you know, I got so angry that I would have been interrupting people and not letting them express things clearly, or...
We never do that.
No.
Who does that?
No. Who does what?
Yeah, it might have gotten... I'm sorry, Mike, continue. You said you might...
No, it can get to that point where you're not in control of yourself. I mean, obviously, you're making yourself speak and you're making yourself be angry, but... You're probably thinking, or subconsciously thinking, I would rather express myself. I'd rather win them over than force myself on them. I'd rather speak than yell, and yet you're yelling.
Right.
So the actual question from Pat is, how can I handle my anger better?
Yeah, boy, that's a tough question. So one thing I think is just to check in with yourself, like, during an argument, and like, think to yourself, how am I saying what I'm saying? Because if you realize that no one's going to listen to you if you're screaming and yelling and not making sense and not sounding rational, or if other people feel threatened by what you're saying, then they're not going to listen to you. If you can just realize that and sort of give yourself a reality check every couple minutes.
How do you do that? Because especially when you're impassioned, you're not thinking about, am I yelling right now? You're thinking about, listen to me, you're not hearing my point. So right. how do you get yourself to check in with yourself?
Well, the way that I do it is by listening to what the other person is saying that I'm having an argument with or a discussion with. And I do that by, you know, actually really listening and seeing, well, okay, what is this person trying to tell me? Even if they're communicating with me in an angry or very passionate way, I can still say, okay, well, what are they really trying to tell me? And by doing that, I can then say to myself, okay, here's what they're telling me. Here's what I want them to understand about what I'm saying, and here's how I'm going to say it in the most effective way so that they'll really get what I'm saying, just as I get what they're saying.
You know, the other night I was at a restaurant where apparently the waitress had seen me a couple times, and so she knew me, and we started a social conversation.
And she knew, okay, I won't say anymore.
Yeah. And it turned out that she was really, really statist. And by that, I mean she was...
I was at that restaurant with you.
it turned out she was...
That was might have been she, a sexual you know, Sundays.
And the secret is out. It turned out she was pro-government so much that, after, you know, while I calmly explained, well, you know, if you want to... I don't want to get into the specifics, but she was stating a position that I found aggressive and violent and I didn't like, and I've totally forgot my point now. Something about checking myself, probably.
Uh-huh.
Something about checking myself. Oh, I remember just having the discussion with her and then actually thinking, okay, you're not getting anywhere, to myself, you're not getting anywhere, so how about asking her a question instead?
Mm,
so
that's great.
Never mind the fact that asking questions is a good tactic. I somehow... I checked in with myself. I don't know how I did that, but I remember like removing myself from the conversation for 1 second and thinking, oh, this isn't working. Try something else.
Yeah.
So that's what you're talking about, but I don't know how I did that.
Hmm.
Maybe because it wasn't very passionate at the moment. We were just talking.
Well, maybe because you were really interested in what you had to say. I mean, I happen to know a little bit more about that situation, and I knew that you had started that conversation with her because you were interested in getting to know her better.
Yeah.
And so maybe since you had that interest in her to begin with, you were a little bit more conscious of how you were coming off and how you were seeming towards
could
her.
Could be.
But whereas maybe if it was someone... If it was a dude who you weren't interested in because you're pretty much straight, like, then you wouldn't have cared that much, right?
Well, maybe, but then you're saying that if you're not interested in the conversation,
another
it would be
motive.
Harder to check in with yourself?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that you had an extra incentive in that case to sort of be on good behavior. Do you know what I'm saying?
I suppose, but frankly, I was already not interested in her at that point.
Yeah,
so.
I guess you're right. Okay, well, I mean...
It could be the case. I don't really know how I checked in with myself. It's a good thing to do. I just don't know how to do it.
Well, maybe...
I do it, but I don't know how I do it.
I don't know. I think that everyone has moments during arguments or heated discussions where they, you know, they have an opportunity. It somehow it registers to them how they're sounding and how they're feeling. I mean, maybe that moment is just that you notice for the first time during that conversation that your heart is starting to beat faster.
Yeah, and
you realize that you're starting to blush, or you feel yourself getting hot.
Also, there could be external cues. Like, in the case last night, you noticed me getting angry and said something, and I heard what you said, and I acted on it.
Yeah.
And there could be other cues, like, sometimes if I'm yelling because I'm passionately arguing with someone or whatever, and don't realize it, I might just happen to notice that other people in the room who aren't participating are looking because I'm yelling too loud. So then I realize, ooh, I better lower my voice. So
yeah, exactly.
External cues, maybe.
Exactly. And I think those things are very helpful. And whether it comes from inside yourself or if it comes from someone else who's present there, or even the person who is your opponent,
good
right?
Good point.
That
I mean, either
against.
One of you, if you're good at it or have done it, you could say to the other, look, let's calm down a minute. Let's take a breather, or let's lower our voices so that you both know how to do it.
Maybe you notice the other person getting upset, and then you say, wow, he looks really like a jerk right now because he's yelling at me. I wonder if I'm looking the same way to him.
Good point. That's probably sounds to me like the easiest way to do it. Am I acting like this person's acting, and do I like that?
Yeah, exactly. That's actually, now that I think about it, I think that's probably the one cue that makes me notice how I'm behaving the most when I'm in a discussion with someone like that, the way that they're acting.
Hmm.
And I say to myself, wow, they really come off as sounding like a jerk or sounding like they're overly mad because of X, Y, and Z, and I'm going to make sure that I don't do that so that I don't emulate that bad behavior, right?
Right. I think that's great.
Yeah. So, okay, well, I guess we've talked about a few tactics, but, like, do we have any more? How about, like, you started to talk about, at the beginning of this episode, just walking away or taking a break or saying, I don't want to discuss this right now until I have a chance to think about it or cool down.
That's definitely a great way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And for that matter, I'm really good at that now, but I wasn't always, so maybe all of these just take practice.
Yeah, and I also think it depends on the individual, because I can recall one time when, basically the one time in our friendship that you've ever been upset with me. And you said, you know, I don't really want to talk to you right now. I need to think about, like, how I feel about this, and I need to think about what I'm going to say. And probably that was a great thing that you did that, because you didn't say anything that you regretted.
You would regret.
But it just infuriated me to no end, because I wanted it to be resolved right then.
Right.
I didn't want to go to bed thinking, Mike is angry at me, and I don't really know why, and I can't resolve it.
And actually, this took, like, a day or two, right?
It did. It took 2 days, and I was, you know, I was kind of on pins and needles that whole time. I didn't want you to be upset with me, but then we worked it out, and it was fine. And then we haven't had an incident like that since, even though we interrupt each other all the time. See episode 27 or whatever it was.
See episode everyone.
Oh, but I mean, I think taking a break and walking away can be a good tactic in some situations, but sometimes it's more difficult than others.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So,
like,
and,
yeah.
And so let's, I think the question asked, Pat doesn't ask this, but it kind of relates to road rage.
Oh, absolutely.
Or it very strongly relates to road rage, because there you could be peacefully listening to your favorite song and driving down the road, and someone cuts you off, and all of a sudden you get to you where you want to ram off the road.
Right.
So how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, okay, road rage is a very interesting example of a situation of conflict, because in a lot of conflicts or a lot of arguments or discussions or whatever, there are consequences afterwards. And even, like, the question asker specifically says, sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to do something I regret, right? Or sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to do something stupid.
Right.
Well, I think he or she is referring to the fact that if you have a heated argument with someone and you say something that hurts their feelings, that doesn't just go away if you have a relationship with that person.
Yeah.
On the other hand, road rage, basically, you probably don't know that person and you're probably never going to see them again. So what does it matter if you do something to piss them off?
Well,
right?
But it depends on the extremity, the seriousness of what you want to do. If you want to whip out a gun and shoot them, which is like the media's version of road rage.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, there are repercussions. But if you're going to flip someone off, Or yell some bad words out the window at them, you'll never see them again. You're right. And maybe it's okay to take out your aggression in a harmless way like that. Do you think?
Well, I don't think so. Because, I mean, if you have that much aggression and you are looking for, it seems like almost like you're scapegoating anger about something else.
It could be.
How could you have that much anger about someone who does something on the road? I guess I could see if they did something that almost killed you or whatever.
No, well, you're right. But if they're just cutting you off and it makes you 1 second later.
I mean, that seems like an overreaction to me.
It could be.
Just let it go. It's not that important in the grand scheme of things.
I tend to get very angry when I'm in traffic.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't, and
I'll
talk about that in a minute.
Because you think you're going to be late?
No, I get angry because it's an incredible waste of my time, which is all I care about. But each person on the road, it's an incredible waste of their time when it takes 20 minutes to drive from here to work. But because there's so many people doing so many stupid things all at the same time in the same place, it takes an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it infuriates me. But the reason I brought that up is because... me out here. Why did I bring it up? Road rage.
Were you going to say that it's really the fault of the government roads?
No. Yes, it's all the government's fault.
Yeah,
and end of topic.
Of course it is.
Turn the page. No, I brought it up because... Oh, I forgot again. Come on now.
Oh, sorry, Mike.
No, it's not your fault. anger. Check myself.
You just got angry at me because
you blamed
me.
I'm angry at me for forgetting this.
Well,
you talk
we're talking about scapegoating.
Yeah.
Like, how could you have that much actual anger at a road rage scenario if someone cuts you off?
Oh, here's why. Uh-huh. Because it doesn't do me any good to be angry at it. And it took
me...
I didn't even realize that myself. Someone had to tell me about it eventually. Like, I'm sitting here fuming and pounding my car dashboard and yelling and whatever I'm doing, and it's not helping anything. I'm not... No one's learning from me. No one's going to drive better because I'm doing it. I'm not getting anywhere quicker. It's just not helping.
Yeah.
And once someone pointed it out, I was able to see it when I did it, which was often. And now I think I do it less often because I'm trying to train myself that it's pointless.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's another way to handle road rage, is to just realize whether the rage or your anger that you're, you know, expressing is helping you in any way.
Yeah, that's a great point, Mike. I'm glad.
Took me a hell of a long time to get to it, huh?
Well, no, I'm glad you brought it up. I thought you explained it really well. And also, that point is generalizable to any situation where you might feel angry. Because if you instead think of channeling your anger towards solving the problem that made you angry in the first place, like, for instance, if you think, okay, I'm angry that I'm late. So it's not really going to make you early to be angry about it, right?
Yeah,
it might make you earlier if you decide, if you plan how to take a shortcut, or it might make you earlier if you, you know, just focus on the road or focus on driving, but it's not going to make you early to just sit there and fume about it.
Right.
And so you can direct that anger into creating a solution that solves the problem that made you angry instead of just being angry aimlessly.
I like to own my fault. When I'm angry, when I do something stupid and it causes me a problem, I like to get angry at myself, and it's probably an overreaction, but I say, oh, that's so stupid, I hate it when I do that, because I feel like I'm going to learn from being angry at myself that I don't like it and not do it next time.
Absolutely. Anger can be a great motivator to give you a push to do something that maybe you weren't as motivated to do before. Like, if you feel like, oh, I'm really angry because I've gained some weight, and I feel mad at myself because why didn't I have more self-control, or why did I stop eating, or whatever, then maybe that anger actually motivates you to exercise or to change your diet
something. In fact, it did for me after a certain point. There was a point a long time ago when I weighed a hell of a lot, and, you know, 1 pound, you know, at some point I got disgusted with myself and made a change. But 1 pound before that, I wasn't. So there was a threshold, and eventually... Yeah. I got angry enough that I did something about it.
Yeah, but the point is, like, you didn't channel that anger into yourself and have it stress you out and cause you emotional distress.
Well, ironically, it was depression, but you're right, not anger.
Well, you used your anger to put it towards something constructive, which was losing the weight that was causing you that problem in the first place.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, you can channel your anger into something productive. And then another thing that you could do to manage your anger is to find an outlet for it, right? A lot of people say that if they really have a tough day at work, if they get mad or something, they go home and hit a punching bag.
Yeah, jogging, go swimming.
They go jogging. Usually it's exercise.
Your kids, whatever.
Beat your kids! That is not cool. I'm going to beat you for saying
hey, maybe BDSM is another way to get out your aggressions.
Oh, some people say that. I don't
probably
really
not
think
very
that's,
safe.
No, I don't really think that's appropriate, but that's maybe another topic. But
yes, a way to channel
an outlet,
your anger,
It could be knitting for all you, I mean,
well,
you know.
I kind of doubt it, but it certainly could be.
Yeah.
I would think it would be something more where the rage can escape. I mean, if you're knitting, what escape is there? You're not even exerting any muscles.
Right, well,
you're not
building
a sweat, you're not yelling, you're not doing anything.
Well, some people say that they do, like, yoga or Tai Chi
in order to... Although you're using muscles in both of those.
You're barely using muscles a lot
aren't
of the time.
You?
Yeah, you are. I mean,
it's
isotonic, it's a physical
right?
exercise, but it depends.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
It
well,
really
anyway,
depends.
More so than knitting.
Yeah, but if you're doing, like, a meditative kind of yoga to handle your anger...
Yeah, maybe that'll work.
Then you're really just, you know, getting that... addressing that emotion and finding a way to get it out of you rather than actually... hitting something, I guess.
Yeah. Although hitting something, especially if it's yours, is appropriate or can be appropriate, like a punching bag.
Well, it's better than hitting someone.
Well, yeah, unless they want it, like Fight Club. But I'm saying your own property. Even if it helps you to break things, if you're breaking your own things, I think either that will help you or it'll teach you that breaking things doesn't help you.
Right.
Because you break your computer or you break your favorite, you know, picture or whatever. And you're only going to do that once and realize, oh, this is not a good channel.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know.
No, okay.
Maybe you should have just taken up knitting.
Oh. I would have, but I broke my knitting needles.
You shoved them up someone's ass.
And now they're angry.
No, do not try that at home. Do not do that at all, actually. It's not cool. Oh, have we... is that a good note to end on? I really don't think so, but...
A good note to end on. And so we're going to end today's show with shoving needles up someone's ass.
Oh, God, yeah.
But we covered the topic, haven't we?
Don't you think? Yeah, I
think
we...
What do you think, dear listener?
It's a rhetorical question.
Well, it is now, but coming soon will be a phone-in line.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
As a matter of fact, coming soon, very soon...
We will be live at Porkfest.
Well, that too, but we'll
have... Oh, you were just going to say something
the
else.
The website, yeah. We'll have a website with all our old archived episodes available and comment section.
That's right.
And maybe even by the time you hear this episode.
Yeah, we've had a number of requests from some of our listeners who are diehard Pork Therapy fans. Mm-hmm. And they want to go back and listen to our oldest episodes.
Are they Pork Therapites?
I think they might be pork therapeutians.
Pork therapeutists.
Pork therapeons.
Pork therapists?
Well, regardless of whatever they are, they wanted to listen to our old classic episodes. They're actually classic now because...
Because they're old.
Oh, yeah, because they're old and classic sounds better than old. So we're going to have our website, probably by the time you hear this, we'll have all of those posted on our website. And I guess there's nothing else left to say,
just
is there?
The business stuff. You can find us at facebook.porktherapy.com
and twitter.porktherapy.com.
You know, no one follows... Thank you, our one listener, for following us on Twitter. But frankly, everyone else...
It's really pathetic. We have one follower on Twitter. What the fuck are you guys doing?
Listen, you're listening
to our podcast, but you're not following us on Twitter.
If you use Twitter at all,
what kind of fans are you?
And you follow us, we do just very few tweets. It's just... The only tweets we do is, hey, new episode. That's it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well.
I don't know. Is Twitter going by the wayside? I don't know.
It's always been a very pointless tool.
I have a lot of pointless tools, but I don't use them that much. I don't even know what I'm saying.
And you can find us on iTunes, and you can write us a great review, and we'd appreciate it. And I think that's it. And send us your questions.
Yeah, send us your questions at questions@porktherapy.com. And you know what, Mike?
No.
We almost forgot the most important part of every episode.
What could we... I'm getting angry. What did we forget?
Well, calm down. If you want to help Mike find an outlet for his anger, because, you know, sex can be an outlet. It can be a very good one, actually.
Especially for
you
me.
Should email him at mike@porktherapy.com, and you should ask him out on a date, because he's very mad that he hasn't gotten any
date
requests.
I'm mad that I'm not free tonight. When am I...
Well, you know what? You're free tomorrow. It just solves the problem right there.
I released my anger.
I think he's actually channeling his anger due to the fact that we only have one follower on Twitter.
Can I name him or not? Because anyone can go onto Twitter and see.
Sure, anybody could go.
Thank
well,
you
know
Dada.
What? Actually, you fucked it up.
Oh, never mind.
I'm so mad at you. No, I'm just kidding, Mike. I was going to say that, listeners, you should go on to our Twitter account, and you should check for yourself, and maybe while you're there, you'll want to follow
That's
us, too.
That's right.
But it's too late for that, because Mike spilled the beans.
Maybe you didn't hear me, because I'm not going to go back and bleep it out.
No, that's right. We made a pact that we weren't going to do any editing, and not like we already have,
yeah,
but
it's not much of a pact.
We
it's
a,
more of a pact
that
says we never have
policy.
Done any editing, so we why bother starting now?
It's a porkacy. It's a pork therapy policy. An
all
official
right.
One.
Thanks for listening.
We'll catch you on the flip side. Bye.